your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I'm going to stick to more resource investing, but in a broad sense. I'm chatting now with Brian Lenny, founder and editor of the Junior Stock Review website and the Premium Newsletter. Brian, you and I were chatting off mic here for quite a while, talking about looking at share structure and looking at advisors to companies. We hear a lot about companies promoting the fact that they have these strategic investors or large institutions, usually bigger companies, that hold a somewhat significant portion of shares. Sometimes it's only 5%, sometimes it's up to 19% of the company. But one thing we need to understand is that not all strategic investors are the same. There's a number of different aspects to analyze when it comes to A, how these strategic investors built their position, and B, I think even more importantly, how active they are with this smaller company. Brian, let's start off there. When you're looking at strategic investors and you're diving into the company, when it comes to how closely they're related and how they're working together, what are some of the keys that you look for?
Thanks for having me, Corey. So for me, you know, it always depends. It depends on what type of company it is. So, let's say it's exploration. And you want to gauge the impact a strategic shareholder, whether that be an institution, maybe a singular investor, maybe like an Eric Sprott, or, let's say another, like a senior mining company or another mining company that's taken an interest. For me, I think there's a number of questions you want to look at. You know, how recent is this strategic position taken? Is it in the financing that's really recent? You know, they've taken, you know, 10% of the company, or was this something that they acquired through, you know, an option deal 2 years ago, or was this shares that they bought in a private placement 2 or 3 years ago? And if they did, have they maintained their percentage? Have they maintained 10%, meaning any private placement that's happened since then, they've put in enough to maintain their percentage and not get diluted down. I think that's one of the things that you want to take a look at and give you some relevance on how that company views the potential in that junior that they've taken a position in. From more so on a strategic side, you know, you can see you know, singular investors. I will use an example for this that I have no connection to the company at all, but I did meetings with them. There's a company called Northern Superior, and Michael Gentile is a strategic shareholder there, and he actually participated in the meetings at this PDAC one-on-one conference. And I thought that was pretty interesting. You know, obviously this guy not only owns 16% of the company, but he's participating in the one-on-one meetings, meaning that he does have a lot of you know, he's putting his money where his mouth is in his position, but he's also working on the day-to-day operations with the company and using his network connections and what he knows about investing to help promote the company. So I think that was, to me, that was a really good sign on that company. Now, I'm not invested in Northern Superior, but I like to see that strategic shareholder actually meant something. And you can parlay that into companies too. You know, are they involved in a technical advisory committee? Does that technical advisory committee cost anything to the company? Or is it just there to make decisions on where the company's doing their generative work? You know, how they're going to focus targeting for a drill program and such. And so I think those are a couple of the ways that you can kind of gauge the impact of a strategic shareholder.
All of those are good examples, and touching on your initial point there, how they built their position. That's also critical, because sometimes these shareholders or institutions that are being marketed built their position through either offloading a project or, in essence, not actually paying for their position through financings and maintaining their position. That's the key to consider. When you're looking at these strategic investors, though, Brian, are you wanting to see them as simply investors or possible acquirers? Very different take there.
You know, it depends on who it is. And I think it depends on their track record too. You know, there's some guys, let's use Eric Sprott. You know, I think it's a really good example, because people get really hot and heavy when they see Eric Sprott's name as a strategic shareholder, which I think, you know, partially is something that, you know, that means something. But on the other side, he's in so many different companies that, you know, he spreads his money around so that he can hit those winners. And, you know, his strategy doesn't necessarily fit the general retail investor. So you have to be very careful with using a guy like Eric Sprott as a gauge to if you should go into a company or not. And then some of these other guys, you know, you do have to gauge their track record. And I'll use a couple of examples that I used in my recent newsletter when I was talking about this. In terms of senior mining companies, someone like Kinross, you know, their track record, in my view, hasn't been that great in terms of joint ventures that they've done. And I've seen more failures than successes. And so if Kinross is the major company that's taken the joint venture with Junior that I'm looking at, I'm a little more skeptical on possibly how that company views the joint venture deal and if I should put any weighting towards it. Now, that's just my view. People can view that differently. But I think that's part of the thing you need to do is look at that whoever that strategic investor is and look at their track record and then parlay that into what that could actually mean to the company. And, you know, for senior mining companies, I like to see them take a technical role. For, you know, large investors, obviously, they're there to participate with their money. And that's like Eric Sprott. It looks like a guy like Michael Gentile does more than just contribute his money. It looks like he's right involved with the companies. And I think that's good too. But again, it always depends on who that strategic is and what they bring to the table as a strategic investor.
Let's also talk about joint ventures, because this ties into this conversation. And joint ventures, they can come in many different forms, usually in a staged payment form. So I really think you do need to pay attention to how those payments are staged, but also when it comes to who's running the actual exploration program. Do you have a preference when you see a major teamed up with the junior? Does it depend to you who runs that actual exploration program?
Yeah. Again, it's another one of those, it depends. I'll use an example, Kenorland. They're the operator for their joint venture with Sumitomo. I'm very comfortable. In fact, I like that they are the operator on Renault, and I'm hyper confident in them as a management team and their ability to execute on an exploration program. Now, if the team was different, you know, if technical expertise or acumen wasn't their strength, which I think in Kenorland's position it is, I would rather the senior mining company be the operator and the one that's, you know, doing everything when it comes to, you know, executing on the exploration program. So again, it's one of those things that it's a case by case basis. And then obviously I think people should always be playing to their skill set. And if technical is your skill set, then I think you should be driving the bus. The other side to that is, you know, some of the major mining companies just don't go for that, and they'll only contribute their money if they can choose where it is spent. And, you know, in some cases, that's fine. You know, if you want to de-risk your project and take on less risk as an explorer, then these are some of the things that you have to do to do that. But, you know, in some cases, that's going to work out for you. In some cases, it's not. And people need to look at, for example, a senior mining company that takes a joint venture project and exploration. And I think most of these major mining companies are looking for these elephants, right? They're looking for big targets, you know, plus 5 million ounce deposits. They go execute an exploration program that's, you know, isolating things to only show if there's a 5 million ounce deposit. And if there isn't, they're not interested. So, you know, these guys can release joint ventures and, you know, they get a negative stigma because, you know, oh, the senior mining company left. But, you know, I think most of these junior companies, if it was, you know, over a million ounce deposit, that still has a lot of value in most cases. And so it doesn't necessarily mean that the project is bad. But again, it depends. It always depends.
It does always depend. And you know what? It usually is a good sign to see a major in there, but you really need to analyze how active that major is and how that project is moving forward. Because sometimes when these majors do pull out or these strategic investors pull out, you always see a drop in the share price, but that can usually offer some sort of an opportunity for investors. Brian, overall then, would you say it's usually a positive to have these strategic investors in there, but it really comes down to digging into the story as to how they got involved and what those major strategies are, the strategic strategies are, to understand just how, I guess, profitable that investment could be?
Yeah, 100%. I think generally speaking, a good strategic investor is always good to the story. But it always requires the investor to do the due diligence to understand, everything about that. Like all those points that we covered, what price did they get in? Are they maintained their interest? How are they maintaining their interest? Are they actively involved technically, or are they just providing money? Having a good clear idea of how that relationship works and how it works into your investment thesis is key. But generally speaking, yes, 100%. Good strategic investors are pluses to junior mining company.
All right, Brian, we're wrapping it up there. Great chatting with you. Very interesting discussion. I hope this cleared up for all you investors out there, at least makes you focus a little bit more on some of these strategic investors and not just take the company's word from it saying, oh, they're a strategic investor and that's a good thing. Make sure you check how active they are in the actual program that is being run. Brian, great chatting with you on this weekend show. I'll chat with you again next week. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Thanks for having me, Corey.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.